What must I do to inherit the kingdom of life, to inherit eternal life? And who is my neighbor? These two questions are presented here. Today we hear what is known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. But in order to answer these questions, let us pay attention to the details. This is not just a parable of doing an act of kindness. It is asking all of us to go further, to do more. And for that, again, I invite all of you to pay close attention to the details. First, the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We hear this, the rich young man in Matthew and Mark asked the same question to Jesus. And Jesus told him, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. This man was too attached to his material wealth. Today we hear this guy who has a wealth of knowledge. He's too attached to his knowledge, to his pride. And basically God is saying, this is the summary of this parable. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But again, this scholar thought he knew better. That's why Jesus answered the question with another question when he asked the scholar, what is written in the law? The law, precisely what I just said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, being, strength, and mind. That's what the law says. But what is it that you interpret? The scholar's interpretation was to love those who love him, to treat with respect those who respect him. That's not what the law says. The law says, everyone, love your enemies. This is what Jesus said, the fulfillment of the law. And for that, we also have to ask ourselves, how do we interpret sacred scripture? Because we can read what it says literally, but then how do we interpret that? For that, we ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us interpret it the right way, the way that God wants us to interpret it. Because if not, we'll make the big mistake of doing the things that God doesn't want us to do, or doing what is more pleasing to us, doing what is more beneficial, and we'll end up not doing what God wants us to do, precisely to love and forgive the enemies, to do good, to look out after the one who is suffering, the one who needs our help. For that, we have a Holy Mother Church to guide us and help us, what we call the body of the church, the teacher or the magisterium. The magisterium is there to help us interpret what is written in the law in sacred scripture and then put it into practice. This is what God wants us to do. Then we hear what happens. The priest saw the problem, or saw the man who was suffering, who was in need, and he just passed by. He ignored the man. And one of the reasons why, which is not justifiable, it is not justified, there's no excuse, be it if this is a priest or not, but there's no excuse. There was blood involved, and he didn't want to touch the blood, because if the priest touches the blood, then he will become uncleaned. Therefore, he said, well, he didn't say it here, but maybe he thought to himself, I will let somebody else do it. The attitude of, I don't want to get my hands dirty. I let somebody else do it. Well, no, there's no excuse. God wants you to do it. He wants me to do it so that we can go out there and bring Christ to the whole world. And then the same, the other man, the Levite, he didn't want to do it, because he didn't want to get involved too much. And then we hear the one, the Good Samaritan, and it is called the Good Samaritan because the one who is called to do the good that God is asking him to do. And we must be that Samaritan. We all know that there was a conflict, a religious conflict between Samaritans and Jews because of the sanctuary, the worship place. The Jews thought that the right place to worship God was Mount Zion. The Samaritans built their place, Gerizim, I forgot the name, but starts with a G. There was that religious conflict. But also these people, the Samaritans, were getting into marriages with non-Jews. So there's the problem there. So they didn't like each other. So by calling the Good Samaritan here means you and I. We are called to be good because God is good, to do good. And Samaritan, to help. It doesn't matter if the person is a Jew, if the person is from whatever nation. We're all called to love one another because we're all children of God, the same Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter the color of the skin, the race, nation, whatever. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're all called to love one another because we all share in the same humanity. When I see my brother suffering, I must do something to help. This is the interpretation that God is making and sharing with this scholar of the law. Here, the man signifies Adam, the man who has been wounded. Adam was wounded by sin. This man was wounded by robbers. Jerusalem is paradise, the heavenly paradise. Jericho is the world. The robbers are the hostile powers or demonic forces. There's a lot of those happening right now. But we overcome evil by doing good. There's no demonic forces that are more powerful than God. Even demons are creatures. God is the creator. So we can overcome that by doing good. The priest represents the law. It is good to know the law, but it is better to put it into practice. The Levite is the prophets. The Samaritan is Christ. The guy was victim. He suffered. He was wounded by the thieves, by the robbers. Christ is the holy victim, the pure victim, the spotless victim. And we see the details, what this Christ did. And this is exactly what he does for you and for me, for his church. He was a traveler. Jesus came to this world to bring us to himself. He was moved with compassion, meaning he poured his heart out for this man. At the sight, when he saw him, we are called to see the one who is suffering. But don't just remain there. We better do something. If not, we become like the two people, the priest and the Levite. They saw the problem. They saw the need. But they just said, no, I'm too busy. Jesus is calling us to be able to see with compassion. And then this is what he does. He approached the victim. He approached the victim. Again, this parable is not just about doing a kind deed. Something that is nice. Oftentimes we say, oh, well, I did my good deed for the day. I helped a homeless guy on the side of the road. Pope Francis reminds us that it is not just about handing or giving the coin or the $100 bill, well, a dollar bill to the homeless, whatever the amount is. Not just that. But Pope Francis is calling us to touch that person, to look the person in the eye. Right there is compassion. Right there is seeing the person who's suffering, sharing in his or her suffering. So the importance of touching and approaching the person, not just, here it is, get out of my sight, but looking the person in the eye, encountering that person, this is what Christ does for you and for me on a daily basis. This is what Christ wants you and me to do on a daily basis, not only during Lent when we do almsgiving. And we're doing that. We're here to be strengthened so that we may continue to do it with more love, fully surrendering to God to give glory to God. Then he approached him and he said, well, pour oil and wine over his wounds and bandage them. He cured the man. He helped the man. He brought healing to this man. Then he lifted him up on his own animal. The wounds represent disobedience. I think all of us have been wounded, especially each time when we choose not to obey God. We're being wounded by disobedience. The animal represents the Lord's body. Jesus was lifted up on a cross to lift you and me to heaven. And he will continue, he does this every day. He continues to lift everyone up so that we may lift others up in prayer as we continue to help one another, as we continue to pray for one another. The inn or the place where the Samaritan took the wounded man, it represents the church. The church is the hospital for the wounded. This is our mission, this is our calling, that we may embrace the one who is suffering, the one who is in need, so that we may bring healing, so that we may bring unity, that we may continue to defend the dignity of every human life from conception to natural death, that we may continue to defend the dignity of holy matrimony. And then he took care of this man. My dear brothers and sisters, we're called to be like Christ, to be good Samaritans. People, church, a church who is willing to go out to get her hands dirty, to lower ourselves down to lift others up, to preach forgiveness, but to preach what we believe, but to practice what we teach. As we approach this holy banquet, let us ask our Heavenly Father to help us to be like Him, to be merciful, to be compassionate. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, almsgiving to the poor, visit the one in prison, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, bury the dead, admonish sinners, meaning tell people that sin is bad. Nowadays in society, do whatever you want. If you can and if you can pay for it, that's fine. Well, no, a sin is a sin. Wrong is wrong, even if just one, the church is even if the church is not doing it. Right is right, even if just the church is doing it. Wrong is wrong, even if everybody else out there is doing it. So we're called to admonish sinners, meaning tell them that's a sin, go to confession. Instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful. We must share the good news of the gospel, the truths of the gospel. Help from the church to have the right interpretation. Comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive all injuries, and pray for the living and the dead. Therefore, go and do likewise. Please stand. I believe in one God.